But we get back to it today, following the shepherd, the life of David. And we want to pick it up in verse 25, or chapter 25. Just as a reminder, chapter 24, Ethan, the last time Pastor Ethan preached, we saw David, King David, not yet King David, but will become King David. But we saw a man in really complete control of what was going on in his life. If you remember, just by way of review, despite the fact that King Saul is, it seems every time we turn around, he's throwing a javelin at David, trying to kill him. And David has been faithful to his king, faithful to his country. David finds himself in a cave in En-Gedi, and Saul enters in not knowing that David is there. David's men are encouraging David to take the opportunity and kill the king. And David said, no, I can't do that. And despite all the circumstances and everything that's going on, David won't do that. And we just, Pastor Ethan emphasized that despite everything in David's life, that David was really being led by God. He was sensitive to the leading of God. One chapter later, the chapter we're going to look at today, we find and see a different David. We see a David who has lost control. A David who is about to make or could have made a terrible mistake. So let's pick it up as I read in chapter 25 in verse 1. The Bible says, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. Just want to make sure you're with me. So the man's name is what? Nabal. Very good. And the man's wife's name is? Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men. and 200 abode by the stuff. You just stop there and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray your blessing now upon this message. Please help me as I preach it. Please guide and direct all that I say. Let it be a blessing to us. Let us learn from it. Help us to see these truths and make application to our lives. For we ask this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, this morning's message is a very practical message. We see some great truths here. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, to be quite honest, because Abigail, the wife of Nabal, is a picture, really, of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we see, we will see, the influence on Abigail as we get into this chapter, as she deals with David and David's reaction to Nabal. But look, if you will, at the introductory statement on the handout, because this is kind of the theme, really, to this message and how it applies to our lives. This episode in the life of David tells us that however long that we have been on the Christian path, however long we have been saved, however often I may overcome one temptation or another, however many times I have defeated sin in one area, it can strike in another, and it can crush us at any moment. David, at this moment and at this point, he is about to make a huge, huge mistake. He's not being led here by God. He is about to be led by his flesh. And that's the battle you and I deal with as believers. There's a battle that's waging in our lives. The flesh, it lusteth against the spirit. And the book of Galatians tells us that they are contrary one to the other. And so I think if you understand some things, let me make some quick observations here before we get into the number of points that I put down for you. Observation number one is this. Look at verse 2. The man Nabal, it says, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. So we understand that this man, he was a very wealthy man. It tells us the amount of sheep, 3,000 sheep, and it tells us that he had 1,000 goats. It tells us in verse number 6 that he was a man of prosperity. And so we're reminded that possessions and prosperity don't necessarily bring the right attitude towards people. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Nabal is not a content man. We find that as we look here with regards to how he's characterized. It says of Nabal, as we read here again by way of introduction, nearing the end of verse 3, but the man was churlish and he was evil. That word churlish is an interesting word. If you study that word out, there's a lot of that goes into it in the original languages. The word churlish, it means that this man was rude. He was a surly type. He had no feelings. He only really cared about himself. He was selfish. The word also encompasses the idea that he was miserly. The word encompasses the idea that he was boisterous and he was ill-bred. He was just a rude, unkind individual. And so here he had all of these possessions and all of this prosperity, and yet it didn't seem to really help him with regards to his character. And this is the man, and this is how the characteristics that he had with regards to how he treated David. In fact, the name Nabal, it means to be foolish, to be villainous. But then also we see his wife Abigail. You have to feel bad for Abigail, don't you think? He's married, she's married to this man. And the Bible says of her that she was of a beautiful countenance. I suspect that she was not only beautiful on the outside, but most importantly, she was beautiful on the inside. That her beauty came forth in how she treated people and how she cared for people. And that's a great blessing of the Lord. Amen? And here she is, this woman who's a beautiful countenance, who we're going to see is used by God, picturing really the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And so you understand what's happened here. Now, David, remember, this is the southern part of the country. And David really, despite the fact that Saul is trying to hunt him down, he's faithful to his king. He is protective of his people. He is dealing with the Philistines. So in reality, part of the prosperity that Nabal has, in some ways he could even owe it to David and David's protective hand upon that part of the country, dealing with the marauding Philistines. And so David, as he's wandering through the wilderness here, he sends his men and he tells his men, listen, I want you to go to Nabal. I don't think David really knows at this point that Nabal is churlish and Nabal is evil. But these are the characteristics that we find, and David is not aware of that. But he says to his men, I want you to go, and we need some provisions. And this man, he seems to have plenty of provisions, and it would seem that maybe he'll give us some provisions and you know, to take care of our own needs. After all, David tells us here that we were helpful to his men. We never took anything from him that we didn't ask for. We didn't try to rule over them in any way. And so David's men come to Nabal and they ask Nabal if they'll give them these provisions. And then Nabal's response was to disrespect David. He knew who David was. Everybody knew who David was. So for Nabal to say, who is David, he's disrespecting him. And what's David's reaction? Oh. His men come back and they tell David what Nabal had said. And David is livid. He loses his cool. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had people? Now, in David's mind, David has treated Nabal honorably. David, when he came to Nabal, he said to Nabal, listen, I don't want the best. Just give me some basics to help my men. After all, they've been kind to you. He's treated him honorably. Look again what it says. Look how in verse 7. Now I have heard that thou hast shears, now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while we were in Carmel. We didn't take anything from you, Nabal. We treated your men kindly. Maybe even were protective of them. In fact, Nabal's own men, their testimony, look at verse 15. This is the testimony of Nabal's men when they speak to Abigail. But the men, meaning David's men, were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them and we were in the fields. The men of Nabal say to Abigail, listen, David's men treated us well. Verse 16. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. They were protective of us. So their testimony was a good testimony of David. But Nabal doesn't care. And when David hears how he was treated, he's not the same man that we saw back in chapter 24. He just has lost his cool. He has chariot rage, is what he has. This is not right. Now you might say, well, you know, David's probably pretty stressed out. David's probably, I mean, like I said earlier, every time you turn around, Saul's throwing a javelin at David. He could be a little bit on edge when you're living that kind of a life. But in David's mind, David's probably thinking, I did everything right here. I treated him fairly. I didn't take anything. I came and I politely asked if we could have some provisions. I was protective of them. And this is the way that he treats me. It's as if David is saying, I have a right to be angry with Nabal. He is so angry with Nabal that he's going to, and does, we see in verse 13, he tells all of his men, get your swords, we're going down to Nabal's, and we're going to kill him. And not only are we going to kill Nabal, we're going to kill all of his men. His whole household. It is the voice of rage. David has lost it here. And you and I, you may have never come to a place in your life where you've lost your cool. And you may, Lord willing, you've never come to the place in your life where you wanted to kill somebody. Maybe in your mind or in your heart you said, oh, I'm going to kill him. But you didn't really literally mean that you're going to kill him. But you just were so angry. And here's the voice of rage in David. I've had enough. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about anger and losing our cool in the words that we say. Proverbs especially. I just put a few examples here in the book of Proverbs. Look on your handout. Proverbs number 14 and verse 17. Let's read these out loud. I think it'll help us. Proverbs 14, 17. Let's begin. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Here's one for the ladies. Proverbs 21:19. Let's read this one out loud. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. We can do better now. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Oh. Oh. I don't know who said amen, but I hope you're not married, man. Proverbs 29:22. I wanted to hand it back with the men. It's safer. Let's just have the men read verse 22. Begin, men. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Wow. There's a lot of other verses in the Bible. David is angry. He's beyond angry. It is the voice of rage. He's lost control. But beginning in verse 14, what we see is the life of and the influence of Abigail. This woman of a beautiful countenance and how she deals with all of this. And it's a real picture of how the Holy Spirit will deal in your life and in my life. When we reach a place in our lives where we may not reach to the same extreme that David has reached here, but we reach a place in our lives where we feel like we are just losing control of our life. Because truly, the Spirit of God wants to be in control of our life all the time. I remember in my own personal life, the situation happened last year, just prior to my daughter getting married, and something happened that was going to affect the wedding and didn't have anything to do with my son-in-law, so I better just say that right off the bat. But something took place in the preparation for it, and I found out about it, and I have to honestly say I was mad. So mad that I almost spoke with the other individual and kind of let them know how I felt. And I will say I'm thankful because I believe it was the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, just don't do that. Only to find out afterwards that it wasn't really that other person's fault at all, per se. It would have been very foolish for me to have done what I have done, would have done. And that's where our second point comes in, and that's the work of the voice of reason in our lives. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? Amen? You know, God is a reasonable God. We need to be a reasonable people. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, God said, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen, when anger or whatever sin, I'm kind of focusing in on anger because of the message, but whenever any sin, whether it's anger or another type of sin, when anger begins to get the best of us, We need to stop and listen to the voice of reason, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Because as I mentioned earlier, the flesh, Galatians chapter 5 says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. When we begin to have anger or sin overtake us, it's because the flesh, our old nature, is rearing up its ugly head and wants to take control of the situation. And you and I, we are vulnerable to that every day of our lives. We'll see at the end of my closing statement. Yesterday's victories are no guarantee for tomorrow's victories. Every day of our lives, we need to be dependent upon the leading and the guiding and the direction and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not like you bank it. You put it in the bank. Well, I had victory yesterday, so certainly I'm going to have victory today. No, every day of our lives, we need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and to direct us and to influence us. So here comes Abigail, the voice of reason. Look what she says. So verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail. By the way, the name Abigail, it means the joy or the exaltation of my father. So one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. In other words, Abigail, these men came and they honored Nabal, and in turn, he just mocked them and railed on them. But the men were good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything. As long as we were conversant with them, when we were in the fields, there were a wall unto them, unto both of us, night and day. Verse 17, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he, meaning Nabal, he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Nabal's own people know who Nabal is. And no one can speak to them. Maybe they were saying, Nabal, you need to reconsider this here, because maybe they heard David was on his way. Maybe they knew David was not going to take this sitting down. Maybe they were afraid of the consequences. And so they appeal their case to Abigail. And in verse 18, Abigail begins to respond. And even before we get into this, let me just say, when you and I find ourselves in situations like this, we need to just stop and we need just to say, Lord, I am about to go into a rage. I don't feel I've been treated fairly. I have tried my best to be polite and to be courteous. And I recognize that I'm right on the edge. They've said hurtful and harmful things. They've said untrue things. They've demeaned my character. They've lied. They've insinuated. Don't I have a right? Abigail, verse 18, made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She begins to take all of these provisions to David. She's going to influence David the best that she can. And the Holy Spirit comes to try to influence us as well. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. The Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily bring the raisins and the wine and all the other provisions, but the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to remind us of what God's Word says. And Abigail goes on and she says in verse 19, And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. He probably would have put a stop to it. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the culvert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. He's angry. He's still angry. And we're reminded of this, that anger is not always easily dispensed with. He hadn't calmed down, David. He's probably more angry now even than when he started. He's probably running. He is. We know it from what the Bible says. He's running this through his mind over again and over again and over again. David said, verse 22, so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. I'm going to take care of all of them. Be the end of them. So you see the rage still in David. But here's Abigail dealing with all this. Verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and she fell before David on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. What a beautiful picture of Abigail. And she said to David, David, just stop. Take out your iniquity on me. I'm reminded of the scriptures, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that when we come to these points and moments in time where we sense whatever it is that has got a grip on our lives, that the Lord has told us to bring all of these things and lay them upon him, to give them to him. She goes on and she says, verse 25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Really, if you don't know the phrase, the man of Belial, he's like, he's a man of Satan. It's about as low as, this is his wife's characteristic. Nabal's, this is Abigail's characteristic of her husband. And it's the same when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, listen, you need to regard or you need to think about the source of where your anger is coming from and how you're dealing with all of this. Even Nabal, his name is so. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. In other words, she's saying, listen, if I had seen these men come and they had made this request, I would have done my best to influence my husband to take care of their needs, or I would have just taken care of the needs. I didn't realize that they had come. I didn't realize they had made this, your men had made this request. And she's trying now to reason with David. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She begins to say to David, listen, you need to consider what you're doing. Don't lower yourself to the same characteristics of Nabal. Don't justify because Nabal treated you badly. Now I can treat him badly. Verse 29, yet a man has risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. This is a beautiful phrase in verse 29. Look what it says. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. It's an old biblical, an old ancient phrase, things that are precious would be bound. If you had family heirlooms, they would be bound. The idea behind it is Abigail is saying to David, David, your life is in the hands of God. Your life is precious to God. You're a servant of the Lord. Remember how precious you are to God and that your life, He's got it bound up and wants to have full control of it and wants for your life to bring glory and wants for your life to bring honor to the one true living God. And the Holy Spirit reminds you and I of that. We've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. And then she goes on and she says, and the souls of thine enemies, let them shall he, meaning God, he shall sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Listen, David, your life is in God's hands. Their life is out of control. Then verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he had spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offensive heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Abigail is diffusing David's anger. And one of the ways she's doing it is saying, listen, David, one day you're going to be king and you don't want to look back on this particular moment, on this particular time in your life where because your anger got the best of you, that your flesh controlled you, that you destroyed a man's home and all of his servants. It'll be a stain that you have on your life. It'll be a grief unto you. Think about that, David. And Abigail has this influence on David. David is so impressed with her. Just as you and I should be so impressed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, verse 34, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which have kept me back from hurting thee, except thou had hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. It is the voice of remorse, the realization that David was about to make a terrible mistake. Have you ever, I'm sure this has happened, it's happened to me, afterwards you say, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't treated them that way. I wish I hadn't responded in kind. Look on your handout, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. We're reminded in the scriptures, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, whenever this kind of a situation arises in your life, just take a step back and remember how you once treated Jesus. Just take a step back and think about times you've been unfaithful to the things of God. Just kind of take a step back and remind yourself of the sin that's in your life and how Jesus went to the cross and died and paid for our sin so that we might have eternal life. These are good verses to memorize, by the way. You know, we're studying David's life in the Psalms, he said. He wrote these words, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The reason for Bible memorization and Bible reading is to give the Holy Spirit tools to work with. And we find ourselves in whatever situation, it's verses like Ephesians that come to mind. Oh yeah, let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. The tongue is an unruly evil. And other verses that the Spirit of God brings to our attention and reminds us and just stops us. And just as the sweet spirit of Abigail got a hold of David, I mean, he was, listen, it is amazing the power the Holy Spirit of God can have in our lives. David didn't know Abigail. He never met Abigail. This is a courageous woman. She knows that David is coming to kill the household of Nabal. She knows that David is in a rage. You think of the courage of this woman. You think of the faith that she had to have. Here comes David, and she's not fleeing. She's meeting David head on. And that's how the Spirit of God works in our lives. The Spirit of God meets us head on. Puts up the stop sign. Puts up the caution sign. Puts up the red light, the voice of reason. And then we're reminded of what the Scriptures have to say. We're reminded of what Jesus has done for us. We're reminded, listen to what Peter said of Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I always find that Peter makes a lot of these comments in how we're to deal with this. I find the irony in that, because in Peter's early life, his mouth was always about four steps ahead of his brain. But by the time the Holy Spirit empowers Peter to write 1 and 2 Peter, the Spirit of God has taken control of Peter's life and his brain and his emotions, and his mouth are being led by the Spirit of God. Well, then we see the voice of rejoicing. Again in verse 35, David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and I have accepted thy person." And he's saying, "Abigail, you are right. Oh, Abigail, I'm so glad that God sent you. Oh, Abigail, I'm so glad I didn't make this mistake." It's you and I saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that you reminded me of what the Word of God said. I'm so thankful of the message that I heard Pastor Ethan preach 3 weeks ago about a certain topic. I'm so glad, Holy Spirit, you brought that to remembrance. I'm so glad that you reminded me, Holy Spirit. I opened up my devotion one day and there was a little devotional about a particular area that I'm dealing with. Oh, I'm so glad that I read that. I'm so glad I've been influenced by that." And the Scriptures tell us if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Philippians says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation is you're under the Spirit of God's control. So as we begin to come to a conclusion here this morning, we're reminded, all of us at some point or another, it might be the voice of rage, but it might be the voice of something else going on in our lives. We need to listen to the voice of reason, and the voice of reason is the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to then, as we hear that voice of reason, and we come to the conclusion that the path that we're on is not a constructive path, but a destructive path, then we have the voice of remorse, realizing that we were in error. And then we should rejoice that God has stopped us from doing something that it would have been one of those moments when we said, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't been that person. It was a poor testimony. I'll give you another personal example. This happened about 10 years ago. I was at Walmart or Big Y. And I don't know, I bought a thing of coffee, one of these boxes of coffee, and I get to the counter, and they had like the sale sign on the back. When I got to the counter, they weren't giving me the sale price. So I kind of gave them a hard time. It was a silly box of coffee. Well, the Lord convicted me. I went back to Big Y the next day, and I found the gal who was the clerk. And I said, I just need to apologize to you. I had no idea why I said and got. You see, the flesh doesn't take a vacation. The flesh is always there ready to pounce. Well, maybe you had a stressful week in the ministry, Pastor. I don't care if I had a stressful week or not. That's no excuse. In fact, when we're going through the stressful times of life, it's even more important that we are thinking about the things of God. But then, if I could just finish, there is a voice of reckoning. And Nabal, here's the reckoning of God. Look at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. She probably was, I can't say, but she probably was going to tell him, but knew that he would be very unhappy. But it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart did die within him, and he became as stone. And it came to pass 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Here was David about to try to kill him, and the man only had a few days left to live. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But let's end on a high note here. I don't want to end up on just Nabal dying, because verse 39 says, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. Now, was David, to some degree, have a right to be upset? Yeah. But you know what? It wasn't for David to deal with it. It was for God to deal with it. He went on to say, and hath kept his servant from evil. God kept me from evil. Nabal treated me poorly. It wasn't right. I wanted to take out vengeance on him. I thought I had a right to, but I understand that I was acting in a very ungodly way. And David sent and communed with Abigail and took her to him to wife. Wow. David is so impressed with Abigail, he says, listen, I want to marry you. And the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel. They spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass. Not only a courageous woman, but what a servant's heart. With 5 damsels that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David, and she became his wife. Wow. You know, the day that you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became the bride of Christ. And God has given to each of us the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within each of us. Let's make sure that we, recognize that, that we take advantage of that. And I mean that in a good way. That we avail ourselves to the leading and to the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we're listening, that we're sensitive to the leading and to the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day of our life. If you'll just, as we finish up, the conclusion, if you'll just look it on your handout. I read this in a book that I read some years ago entitled The Making of a Man of God by Alan Redpath. It's a book about the life of David. But he said this with regards to this chapter and with regards to David. He said, "The victories which I win by the grace of God through the power of the blood of Jesus cannot impart strength to me for the future. No spiritual triumph in my life can give me power to resist the devil the next time he comes. The Lord is not interested in knocking the gun out of your hand. He is concerned about taking the poison from your heart." That, ladies and gentlemen, is something and a reason why every day of your life you have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. It doesn't add up. Each and every day, you need to depend on the Holy Spirit of God and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But let me just finish with this. If you're here this morning or if you're watching live stream, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God does not indwell within you. But it is the desire of the one true living God for you to recognize your sin, for you to recognize that you're lost and on your way to hell, and for you to recognize that there's only one way to have your sin forgiven, and that's to put your faith and your trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. As he died on that cross, last week we celebrated the resurrection. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and conquering death. And if you've never done that right here and now, or if you're watching live stream, you need to just take a moment and you need to admit to God that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to believe that Jesus has died for your sin. I admit to you, God, that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus came to die and pay for my sin, and I call upon you now to be my Savior. I tell you this morning that the moment that you do that, and by the way, I believe with all my heart, the reason that you will do that is because right now the Holy Spirit of God is influencing you to do that. And the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will take up residence within you. And the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus teaches us in the Gospels of John, or the Gospel of John especially, the Holy Spirit of God is given to us to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to bring conviction in our lives, to be like Abigail when we're doing the things like David was doing and to say, whoa, wait, stop. There is no more beautiful countenance than the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. Against such there is no law. Endeavor to live your life being led each and every day by the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, again, if you're here this morning or whether you're watching live stream, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you admit in your heart that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you believe that Jesus died and paid for your sin? Have you put faith in Jesus Christ? His death, his burial, his resurrection. If not, right here and now, or watching at home or wherever you're watching, just call out to the Lord and be saved. Whosoever calleth upon the Lord shall be saved. Pray something like this, dear Lord, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died and he paid for my sin. And today I accept him as my Savior. That's what it means to be born again. Are you born again? With every head bowed and with every eye closed. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you've never done that, but today you did. Today you called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. you do this, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today and you ask Jesus to be your Savior, would you just slip up your hand and put it down? I've never done that. Thank you. I see that hand. I've never done that, but today I did that. Anyone else? I've never really done that, but today I did. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But I'm not sure I'm ever really made that next step, and I want to be sure. So I heard the gospel my entire life, and I was 24 years old before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before the sweet Spirit of the Holy Spirit came and convicted me of my sin and my need of a Savior. Someone else, maybe you at home who are watching, I've never done that. Well, right at home, right where you're sitting, just call out to Jesus right now. Lord, I do admit that I'm a sinner. As the Bible tells us, we've all sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I do believe that Jesus died, paid for my sin. Don't tell God that. And right now, if I've never done this, Lord, I'm going to call upon you to be my Savior, to be born again into the family of God. Right at home, you can do that. I encourage you to do that. Let us know if you did. Leave a message on the church answering machine. Send us an email. We want to pray for you. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask as we conclude this service, we think about Abigail and how she ministered to David and how she's a picture of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we would, as I've said again and again, just be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We would just stop and listen. If we find ourselves engaged in things we know are not right or not pleasing to you, that even if we're halfway through, we just stop. See, this isn't right. But so we're so thankful, Lord, that you loved us so much that not only did you die for our sins, but that you indwell within us to never leave us nor to forsake us. Give us the courage of Abigail, because we know that that courage came from you. Give us the sensitivity of Abigail, because we know that that sensitivity came from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.